That's me rocking. I rock so good. So hard, Howard.
With your cock out, no?
I jam out with my clam out on occasion.
Nice.
You're listening to Papa's Football Podcast, home of shitty, stilted banter because we haven't been in the studio for a week.
And I'm out of the internet. Fuck your studio for screwing me on this, man. Come on.
Hey, dude, do you think I like that we don't have goddamn interwebs wirelessly?
We do a football show. I need stats. What am I without?
What is a Chinaman without his math? Without his numbers? You're listening to Papa's Football Podcast. John Papa Giorgio, joined by Howard Flood. We do an episode every week. Those are hosted at pfpod.com. We also put it on iTunes. If you use iTunes at all, please, we prefer you getting us on iTunes. It helps with the stats. Review us positively and subscribe to us. Just look up Papa's Football Podcast while you're on there. And other than that, we have what to promote? Just Papa Football Pod on Twitter. That's it, right?
Hey, let's stick with that, man.
And otherwise, we are free. Where to begin, man? That was a... I mean, it's an insane week that we have to cover because there's not only a Sunday summary, like the hot shit that went down. We have coach firings because, again, end of regular season, so heads are allowed to roll. It used to be called Black Monday because teams would wait until Monday.
It's still called Black Monday.
Yeah, but just like Black Friday in real life, the shit starts the day before now.
Yeah.
Or in the case of the Texans, 2 weeks prior. But Browns coach, Rob Chudzinski? How do you fucking...
He got a raw deal, man.
Fucking Polacks in their names. Even I can spit on them in
I think
Greek.
He's the one coach who probably didn't deserve to get fired.
One year, but his ass was gone Sunday night. So, again, they're starting earlier and earlier. We also have the playoff picture. I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot, but I think we have to start with Sunday first.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I want to definitely hear your take on it because I think I was a bit cooler to the overall excitement that occurred this weekend.
The games were amazing in terms of what hung in the balance. In terms of the teams that have come out of it and the playoffs this weekend, we'll get to that. I don't give a shit so much. I'll watch all four games. Don't get me wrong. This week and next week, where you have games at 4-8 Saturday, 1-4 Sunday, happiest two weekends of the year, as far as I'm concerned. I'll watch 16 hours of football and not bat a fucking eye. That's just what gets done these two weekends. Nothing.
No, I mean, wildcard weekend is usually one of the best. The thing is, you rarely walk away from wildcard weekends with memories of the eventual Super Bowl champ.
Absolutely.
It's happening more now with the salary cap, but yeah, it used to be this was just entertainment. It was an exhibition for whatever teams were going to lose either to the 1 or 2 seed. Because if you get one upset, you're unlikely to upset both the 1 and the 2 seeds. That just doesn't happen until the salary cap era. So,
yeah, and all of a sudden, it's we say this all the time, the hot team coming in with the wild card slot. I think Green Bay did that. The Steelers with their, was it the 5th or the 6th? I want to say the 5th ring, came in and beat the 5-4-3 seed or the 3-2-1 seed.
Yeah, you've got a couple teams in recent years winning from the wild card. Because, yeah, I think Steelers, Giants, and Packers have all done it. So.
Yeah.
And you're even looking at a team now like Philadelphia. Philadelphia was coming from the shittiest division in football this year, but I wouldn't want to play them either right now. They've been winning so many of their games
they're doing
lately.
Okay. I definitely have to eat a big shit and crow pie when it comes to Fatso's offense not working. He's doing okay.
Nah, they're not a great team to face, so... I think the Saints are going to be kind of screwed when they face them in Philadelphia this weekend for many reasons, including which Philadelphia's actually playing well.
If I had to summarize the highlights or pick the highlight of Sunday, is there anything that tops Rodgers marching the Packers down the field with 2 minutes left? This is the final drive. Converts 3 fourth downs.
That's one for the ages.
Gets his team the touchdown. That's insanity.
That's the one game we'll be talking about a decade from now, I think. Packers.
The guy's
and
back
fans.
After, 7 weeks with his cracked fucking neck hole, whatever it was technically, collarbone. It's the oldest rivalry in the NFL. He's at Soldier Field. It's an early preview. I know the last 3 years, the Sunday night game has been the NFC East win and in showdown. And we started 1 p.m. with the NFC's North take thereof.
Yeah.
High drama, and the dude is there anyone you'd rather have at quarterback? I know Peyton has put up his goddamn 55 touchdowns this year and might or might not have the yardage record. You told me that earlier today. That's an interesting thing, which we can touch on later. But is there anyone you want under center more than discount double check right now?
What I like about
for the past 2 years.
What I like about A. Roger is his ability to run. I think what sets him apart from Brady and Manning is he's always been able to like look at what he has and say, you know what, I'm gonna go and like grab 3-4 yards real quick, and he'll just take what the defense gives him in a way that those two guys can't.
And they were saying, by the way, that was noticeably absent from his game on Sunday. Which again, can you blame the guy?
He actually he took a run or two. Like
he
there
took
were a couple
one
times,
or two,
yeah.
But they were saying he was a little less mobile than he typically was. He was sitting in the pocket more.
Listen, he's prepping for another Super Bowl run this season. That team believes it can make it. Whether or not they actually
like,
do.
I can't say much about the defense. I believe Matthews is out by the year, or for the year, by the way.
Yeah, but I mean, hey, he's not. I think he's a little overrated, to be honest with you.
Like, but he looks like Thor. He can't be overrated. Like, I get what you're saying. He's their Polamalu almost.
To take a starting linebacker out now who makes as many tackles as he does, that's rough. That's a rough loss. Like, because the adjustment they're going to have to make on defense, I don't know. Like, they are going to have a bit of a fall off on defense now because he's gone, but I don't think he's one of the best linebackers in the league. So
he's not elite, if you will, but he's almost like a mascot. You know, he kind of transcends his actual production. I don't want to call him Ray Lewis-esque, but there's an element of that.
I can't believe
a London Fletcher-esque where they
we need to move on. I'm London Fletcher saying, is a good comparison point. You need to, like,
yeah,
I'll accept that.
They kind of, well, Ray his last year, come the fuck on. I'm not saying that he contributes the same amount of leadership, but he's a familiar face on that defense. No one has ever accused him of being locker room poison, despite his like 60 million commercials for, what the, Clay Matthews is what, eating soup on TV now, getting shaved, getting his hair played with. What the fuck else does he sell?
Oh, we'll see. 10 years from now, it'll probably be Viagra.
Viagra, the piss diapers,
yeah.
Little tennis balls for the ends of your walkers because his spine is shot.
Oh.
That was my game of the week. I don't think it got hotter than that Bears game.
Might be the most memorable game of the season, right? It's up there.
It's
as far
insane.
As takeaway
it's
moments.
Insane. Yeah. The guy fucking has missed 7 weeks. He steps on who the fuck converts 3 fourth downs, which, by the way, they had to go for because fat shit McCarthy doesn't go for 2 earlier in the fourth, I believe.
That was an interesting call.
And he's down by 1. Yeah, it was a shit horrid call.
I don't know, because it changes the complexion of the game. Like, now you're suddenly...
Yeah, if any of those fourth down conversions were missed, you're out.
But then they would have had to play for overtime. And they're playing on the road? Come on, I don't know if that's the best move necessarily.
Mathematically, there's certain scenarios at certain times of the game, like, it doesn't, you go for it.
I found it to be an interesting call. I probably would have gone for it, but I didn't question him when he chose not to, because I'm like, that is profound confidence in your offense, was my
response.
Well,
I know, it's always take points, and I'm fine with that. Like, I hate going for 2 early on, but, yeah. Like, those missed go for 2 calls and just taking the point, you see the culmination of them at the end of the game, and he was playing pretty much at the end of the game. It wasn't like he had to do guesswork to be like, well, 30 minutes from now, we could have this score. He's looking at the score. He's in the fourth quarter. That is when you do it.
Hey, listen, that Bears defense is shitty, so we do have to give credit where it's due. And while the Green Bay offense did pull off one of the amazing final drives
in
NFL history.
The final conversion was on a 4th and 8. This was no bullshit like 4th and inches.
I gotta give a shout out to my Chicago Bear friends, because they were all telling me, like, Conte is a terrible piece of shit in the secondary. And while he had that interception in the end zone, I tweeted him afterwards. I was like, hey, come on, give him some credit. He stopped a drive right there. He was supposed to be like man to man coverage on the blown play.
I mean, you could literally watch goddamn Rodgers get better as the game went on. Like the first half, I believe 2 red zone interceptions, 1 end zone. And then he's like, fuck it, we're still winning this bitch.
Yeah. It's an impressive comeback off an injury. And it's basically his warm-up game for the playoffs. So he should be pretty close to 100% in this wildcard weekend.
We'll dissect what he's doing, who he's playing exactly in the playoffs. That one breaks my heart, though, that the pack is shoved up against the 49ers. I don't know if they win. It's like, what, the 19th time they've met in the postseason in the last 2 years?
Dude, you're having San Fran travel to Lambeau. That's a massive
advantage.
That's big.
That's huge. That's huge. I forgot that. I forgot as a division winner, they get that automatic home bid.
But granted, you have to remember, when Favre was on his way out of Green Bay, Mike Vick showed up with the Atlanta Falcons, and he actually led the Falcons to a victory on the road in the playoffs at Lambeau.
Yeah, I remember. That was when Lambeau meant something, and all of a sudden it stopped meaning something, because I believe Favre also gave it up to the Giants.
Yeah, yeah, I think he ended his career in Green Bay with an interception return for a touchdown, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. That sounds like a Favre maneuver. The Favre maneuver.
God bless that man. God bless. I hope he's just sending dick pics from the farm right now. Fucking dick in hand on a riding mower. Sweet tea in the other. I don't know how he's taking the photo. Google Glass. Apparently both his hands are full in that scenario. At 4 p.m., we go into the 4 p.m. game. The big news being, the Ravens, for the first time in Flacco's career, have given up the ghost, not making the postseason.
So I feel bad about that. I feel partly responsible as a Baltimorean now. I have to admit, at 17-17, when it was tied late in the fourth, I checked out.
I definitely, as did I while I text.
Well, no, like for me, we're sitting on the couch at my girl's place.
I was
place.
Flipping between that and touching on the Redskins-Giants game. Ugh. Which I, yeah, exactly.
No, man, I was flipping between the Ravens game and then Red Zone. Basically, like, I was keeping my eye on the Ravens because, you know, that's my team for where I live. But you can tell I'm not a real Ravens fan because at a certain point, it was an ugly game, right?
Oh, you could tell I'm not because I used to say the Ravens are my AFC team. And I just actively rooted against them and jeered.
That's messed up. See, I was rooting for the Ravens to make the playoffs. I'm a little disappointed they didn't. But when it came to like that critical moment that a fan is like, by watching the game, I can help them win.
Oh, of course.
Middle of fourth quarter.
I hate, by the way, the superstitious ads. Is that Bud Light?
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
They're such dumb little caricatures of what it really is. Like,
come
my,
on.
My fat fuck raving out friend.
You're killing my shtick.
Comes by.
You're killing my shtick.
Well, yours is funny and real. Like, I hate how elaborate they get with theirs. Like, I love you, Soxy, or whatever the shit the guy's name is. Or, like, whenever I put on some fruit song,
let me
my
tell
team's
you.
Winning. Because every guy has one take on superstition. It's what you're saying. I watch the team, and they win or they lose. That's it. That's the extent of every guy's power
yeah,
that he believes.
Pretty much. Let me tell you mine. So I'm sitting there, and it's just 17-17. I think the Ravens had the ball at this point. My girl turns to me and is like, hey, do you want to go have sex? And I'm like, all right, do I stay and watch as if that's going to help the Ravens make the playoffs? Which in my mind, I'm like, I think it would. Or do I go have sex? And I'm like, you know what's better than the Ravens making the playoffs?
Yeah,
me having sex
I
right
love
now.
Football, but yeah, if you're getting like a pump or two in, what the hell? You would have to tell me like Tony Romo is going to Theismann on the next play for me to be like, not so much, sorry.
Really? You would even take that over sex? Because you can watch a highlight of that.
No, I'd watch that live over sex. Right. That's like our Kennedy assassination. That's our Lee Harvey Oswald getting shot by Jack Ruby on live TV.
But I'll say this, like, I was pretty disappointed with the overall AFC wildcard battle because everybody backed into it. I mean, the Steelers were the only team that, like, played the win. But the Ravens just screwed the pooch. Dolphins lost to the Jets at home.
Dolphins, I didn't touch that game. I didn't bother to look it up because I figured the Ravens losing to the Bengals was about the same amount of action. I kept up a little bit with the Chargers playing the Chiefs. I know some hinky shit went down. Like in Pittsburgh, they're all pissy about it.
This sucks because that's one of the takeaways for the whole season, man. Like everybody's been complaining this season about the reffing. And I think the
critical
moment.
Why is it everyone's belief that like they always get the edge? I mean, like, aren't multiple refs from Pittsburgh, like a way bigger amount of them than other NFL cities, and they disclosed the fact that refs fly with the goddamn teams back home. So it's like, do you really think these guys who grew up in Pittsburgh,
Western Pennsylvania as a whole, and there are many people have nothing better than watch football.
Yeah, so really, this isn't like DC where people brazenly have the balls to wear the Dallas Star about. This is Pittsburgh, man. You're walking around with some Ravens gear, they're going to fuck you in the ass and leave you in one of their abandoned steel mills, the carcass of that city's industry. They're going to dump you off. So these guys grew up loving the Steelers. They're flying home with the Steelers, who I'm guessing being football players are big and intimidating. I wouldn't exactly go against them. Let's just say it's like the smallest shred of I'll go with you. They get that.
But they got screwed, man.
They
the
did
Steelers
this time.
Got screwed this time.
Good, fuck them. Because they got screwed by refs not in their area.
What sucks is I was rooting for San Diego because I picked San Diego to come out as the second wildcard team from the AFC last week. We're going in, I just felt like the Ravens and I felt the Dolphins were going to lose this week.
Well, so, yeah, we're, again, to preface that, just for San Diego to have a chance, the Ravens had to lose and the Dolphins lose. And they both do. So at that point, I'm like, fuck you. I'm all on board with the Chargers.
But here's what happens. Like, Kansas City has nothing to play for. And while they obviously sent everybody out there who was going to play, like, to play hard, Alex Smith sat. Jamal Charles sat. And Dwayne Bowe sat. So your top receiver, your top running back, and your top quarterback.
It wasn't just that.
Did not
it was
play.
Like several. I think it was like some linebackers, a cornerback or something. Like they had like six or seven starters not starting.
They emptied the bench and everybody played hard for KC. I mean, Chase Daniels played well at quarterback. Like McCluster was playing running back. It was weird because that guy's not really a running back, but he took a lot of. Anyway, it was stunning how poorly San Diego was playing when it had a playoff opportunity against backups. I don't care that KC is a playoff bound team. They had backups on the field. And it came down to the refs making a bad call to basically help them to the next level.
Well,
that's
like
bogus.
Two weird calls, right? I'm trying to remember. The first was San Diego.
It was
at
in
the end
the
of regulation.
End of like, regulation, yeah.
They fumble and it was later ruled that the runner had stopped his forward progress. So a fumble beyond that point doesn't count. But it kind of looked like he was stationary. You know what I mean?
It should have been a fumble return for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Chargers should have lost. And then there was this penalty against Suck Up at the very end.
That actually won the game for the Chargers.
Well, no, I think it kept it from going into overtime. It would have prevented
it. They won in overtime.
They won in overtime, but in the final seconds, KC had a field goal attempt that was missed. And there was supposed to be a penalty against San Diego for an illegal formation. So the refs also missed that. So in addition to missing the fumble return for a touchdown, they also missed like this one pretty important penalty because it would have been a re-kick from 5 yards closer.
So like the morbidly obese, filled with pork sausage Steelers fans are bemoaning everything.
And it sucks for them, but they shouldn't have lost 8 games. You know, like the second seed from the AFC should have gone to the Arizona Cardinals. Like, in reality, the NFL fan got fucked because some shithouse team from the AFC gets the second AFC wildcard berth.
Yeah.
When I would have loved to have seen the Cardinals in the playoffs. They played great in the last couple weeks against two of the favorites
six,
from the NFC. I mean, they played great against San Fran as well.
Lost to them by a field goal, I think, on Sunday.
I mean, but they, like, pushed them to the brink. And then they actually beat Seattle. So, I mean, that's a team that showed they can compete with the best. Why do I have to watch San Diego get its ass beat in the next 2 weeks?
NFC West is just going to be a toxic pit. It'll be like the NFC East of the 80s.
Yeah.
Like, just killer teams beating the shit out of each other. Had you taken any of them out of the picture? Like, do you ever, because I'm a Redskins fan and all I can do is jack off to the past. Do you ever think if Parcells and LT didn't exist? Like, the Skins would have 5-6 rings. You know what I mean?
Whatever. You need to leave. Like, that's terrible. I can't believe you're even,
I think about that, and then I think about going to ancient Egypt with, like, laser guns and a hovercraft.
No, the Redskins would have had more divisional titles, but there were plenty of other good teams. I don't know if you know this, but the team of the 80s was actually 49ers. Yeah, so E to D. I was a big 49ers fan when I was a kid. You remember this?
Like, yeah.
We were hanging out back in the day.
That was your team. I named my gerbil Joe Montana.
You know how sad I was when I remember the day that they lost to the Giants. The Niners lost to the Giants 15-13. 5 fucking field goals in the NFC Championship game to beat the 49ers. I was like, who doesn't score a touchdown and win a playoff game? That's not fair. That was all I thought when I was a kid. I was like, this is bullshit. How are the Giants going to the fucking Super Bowl? Because, yes, I swore in my head when I was 9 years old.
Which one was that? That had to be the...
I was the one where they beat the Bills by
Bills,
a point.
I was going to say, yeah.
Because Niners were 15-1 that year. So that's one of my earliest football memories. So I do remember the championships as well, but I was just so sad when I was like, 5 field goals? That's not fair.
Well, we wrap up Sunday's action.
I'll say this. I think Carolina was disappointing before we move on to the night game.
Okay.
Carolina, like, they barely beat the Falcons, man. It's pathetic.
It's divisional. That's all I'm going to say. It's divisional.
It's still...
divisional and pride.
But you're going to say, like, Carolina's a lock for the NFC Championship game. Are you going to tell me that right now?
No.
All right.
Hell no.
That's what I'm saying. That game kind of showed me that they're very vulnerable.
No one has blown me away this year. Either division, even Seattle. I'm sorry. Like, Seattle is the closest
to being a lock for a championship game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they look sick at home, and I don't exactly dislike them on the road. Even if there's a huge difference, they're still on paper a pretty fierce team.
Yeah.
So that's it. Like, Denver, I don't care if Peyton has hung up 6 trillion points. Their defenses look like shit.
Yeah.
And Von Miller's out for the year again, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's all banged up. Like, he was what, out 6 games for taking juice or whatever, and then
we shouldn't get into picks yet, but
and then Champ,
for the AFC.
I can't even keep track of what games Champ's in, Champ's out. He's old as shit at this point, anyhow.
I like the Pats. I guess we can talk about that when we get to picks, but I mean, I really like the Pats right now.
We'll get to it. So Eagles do the yearly duty of kicking the Cowboys out on the final game of the season. Kyle Orton does his best Tony Romo impression, throwing a pick in crunch time.
As much as I've overall liked that Philly is winning a lot right now, they should have done better against Dallas' backup quarterback. I know that was a road game.
A lot of people thought, though, that they would actually, Dallas would play better because it would have been a better mix of plays. It wasn't going to be, oh, we're in a fucking hole. Let's let Tony throw 8 times in a row and pretend he's an elite quarterback.
I think that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I don't.
That was like Troy Aikman and shit like that. I mean, I know he's accustomed to the balls, but
freaking genius, that Troy Aikman.
A couple prognosticators, commentators were like, I kind of like that they're going to be forced to run more.
Yeah, I mean, they ought to run more against Philly from what I know of Philly.
I mean, the
defense,
outcome was the fucking same.
Yeah.
Close game. They lose it in the end.
Did you watch that last drive? That last drive to me was very indicative of why, like, Kyle Orton should, like, was the difference in the game. Like, first play on the final drive, the potential game-winning drive, is a pick because he can't throw a fucking slant route.
He didn't fucking wait around. I'll give him that. Tony would have at least been, like, 6-7 plays and then break your heart. Kyle was just like, let's get this shit over with.
I mean, I understand he hasn't really, been playing much during games
the last
couple years.
He hasn't
played
the whole year, right?
But the biggest complaint against him, the reason he lost his job to Rex fucking Grossman in Chicago, is he couldn't throw a fucking hard pass. And so the reason he was never the kind of starter you want him to be, because he does understand football. Like, intellectually, he's there.
How many places did he lose out? He lost, I guess, to Grossman. I forgot that. Did he?
He lost to T-Blow as well, right?
He didn't lose to Grossman. I thought he replaced Grossman, and then they got Diabetes Cutler in, and he lost his gig to Cutler, and Cutler, he was shipped.
He was traded for Cutler.
Yeah,
no,
to Denver.
He was the trade for Cutler. That was the switch, I believe.
Well, I'm sure a bunch of other picks, too. I'm trying to remember what the hell else they gave up to get Cutler.
No, they devalued Cutler pretty hard in Denver. Josh McDaniels is a really fucking idiot.
Yeah. But then Orton lost to Tebow.
So he lost to Tebow. He lost to Grossman, too.
I forgot that. Okay.
Because Grossman was the one who, Peyton Manning didn't win a Super Bowl ring. Rex Grossman lost it for the Bears and just basically delivered on a silver platter to Peyton Manning that year. Because he just kept fumbling the snap in the Super Bowl. It was the stupidest Super Bowl I've seen in recent years. Just like, are you kidding? Like, do you want to play to win, or are you just going to give it to him? So Rex Grossman actually beat out Kyle Orton in Chicago, which is stunning. Then he lost to Tim Tebow, who can't even throw the ball. And then he ended up in Kansas City briefly after that. So, and that's...
I forgot that stint.
It was at the end of the season. But what's cool about Kyle Orton is, you can bring him in mid-season, and he could learn your playbook pretty quickly. And so you won't embarrass yourself. And, they played a close game on Sunday. That's why they paid him $5 million this year for one fucking game.
Well, Kitna can go back to his high school or whatever the shit he's doing now.
But yeah, man, I don't know. So I guess we can talk about the playoff hopes for teams like Philly this weekend. Because, I mean, they're...
Let's do the coach firings.
You want to do that?
You can't skip that. I mean, we have 6 down so far. Kubiak fired from the Texans 2 weeks ago. They're apparently high on Bill O'Brien, I believe, the Penn State coach.
Yeah, that's a viability.
How shitty is it that this guy is like, I'm coming into this volatile situation. I'm trying to be your anchor. I want to calm things down. How fucked. I mean, I guess loyalty is just done in the American workplace. Because really, the American corporation loves to fuck the working man up the ass. But you'd like to think sports and coaching is a little different. You'd want to think that if he wanted to, he could stay in Happy Valley for decades, honestly. He's done, 9-5, 8-5 or some shit? his biggest, 2 years?
The biggest problem is he was brought in before the sanctions were imposed. And I think he knew something was coming, but you couldn't have predicted the, I think it's a 4-year bowl ban.
It's bad. I believe you're right.
Yeah, I mean,
I know almost jack about college, but
he's operating with fewer scholarships in the competition. Like, there will be, frankly, I think a perpetual stain on that school, which will disqualify it from recruits for the next 2 decades.
Two decades?
Because parents are going to remember, and they're going to tell their kid, I don't want you going there.
Well, it's not like they institutionally fucked kids up the ass or
it
something.
It doesn't matter.
One guy.
What matters is that head coach has to go into a parent's living room and say, like, I'm going to, like, bring your kid into the Penn State tradition of ethical behavior, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, no, no. That legacy is done.
Christ
I don't
Almighty,
believe
what
it.
Did he think he was inheriting?
I mean, he really thought he could bring it back. And you know what?
It's
He's
like
done
getting
a pretty
the gig
good
as
job.
Prime Minister of Iraq, and then 6 months later, you're like, whoa, this country's a shithole. Yeah, you think?
Yeah. No, I think, to be fair to him, it's something that he probably wanted to give a shot at, and it's the sort of thing that you could walk away from. It's not like this dream job anymore. So for him, it really is like, hey, we have a decent shot at winning a Super Bowl in Houston. Why not go for it?
I guess, man. I don't respect it at all. I think it's a shady thing he's doing.
I think it's amazing he even like decided to go there amidst the scandal that was happening when he was hired. So
where did he come from before Penn State?
He was on the Patriots staff.
Oh, that's right. He's former NFL. I forgot.
So, yeah, no, for him, it was good. And I think it's frankly good for Penn State because he held the fort for 2 years. They did not suck these past two seasons. And now somebody else can come in and they don't have to be the guy after the guy. You never want to be the guy after the guy.
I suppose.
And so somebody else now is just the guy after Bill O'Brien. So.
Fair enough. Jim Schwartz gone from Detroit. Speaking of horrible situations, the mayor of Detroit.
Yeah. I think what's funny.
Or the coach of Detroit.
So, again, talking from the Baltimore perspective, when Detroit lost to Baltimore 2 weeks ago, which basically cost Schwartz his job, they kept talking about Schwartz being from Baltimore. And then John Harbaugh being from Michigan. And
oh,
just like the flip-flop. And part of me was wondering, well, if Schwartz loses and gets fired, could he come back and like be part of this staff? Or, you know, down the road, could he be the coach here? And then I remembered, he's the one who had that incident with Jim Harbaugh where he didn't like the handshake, so they started barking at each other.
Oh, them niggas beefed, to use street talk.
So that's when I realized, like, that fool fucked up, because if he ever wanted to get a job back home, it's going to have to be after John Harbaugh isn't working there.
I'm just happy that Detroit pulled the trigger on this clown. They've pretty much shot themselves in the foot year after year. An insanely talented roster. Like, I think their last 5 first-round picks have been nuts.
Yeah.
The second round hasn't been bad either. In a year where Cutler is gone for a large portion, Aaron Rodgers is gone for a long portion, you've won the head-to-head series against the Bears, and you can't get it done. Like, that's what really
that's
doomed him. Like,
stunning.
He might have had another year if it weren't for those injuries, but it became, wait a fucking minute. You're telling me the heart and soul of that Green Bay team is missing for half a year, and you still can't get it done? What the fuck do we think will happen if he isn't?
I do have to thank him, though, for setting up the drama that was that Sunday game between the Packers and
it
Bears.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
But, and it wasn't even, they fucked so hard. They fucked up so badly. It wasn't even like Detroit had something to play for week 17. They were eliminated before the final goddamn week. And they were at the top of the division like 6 weeks ago, 4 weeks. I'm trying to remember when they finally gave it up.
Because I think my favorite was, the Packers were just so stunned. They're like, we can't believe that we lost all those games after Rodgers went out, and we're still able to claim the division. And just implicit in their like absolute glee, their jubilee over this, is like this other storyline about Detroit completely collapsing after they ended up sweeping the Bears. It's just ridiculous that Detroit has to suffer this much in the same year they declared bankruptcy as a city. First major American city to declare bankruptcy. It's embarrassing.
Just shitholes left and right.
Yeah.
Whole place should be wiped off the fucking map. They need to just turn that city into Thunderdome, and at the center, they stick Ford's Field or whatever, wherever the hell they play.
Oh, that would be amazing, yeah.
So, of course, Browns fire Rob Chudzinski after 1 year.
I hope
that
he
was the Sunday night announcement. Everyone, especially Josh Burns, we should have had him in our called, but it's end of the year and we have crap to do.
Yeah, I mean,
it's insane the guy's gone after a year.
Well, the Browns like brought a new GM. Like basically, Mike Holmgren failed. So I think the reality is when everybody was complaining about that Trent Richardson trade at the beginning of the season, it was a sign that like they were basically having to fix the mistakes that were made in the previous draft by Mike Holmgren, because the Brandon Weeden draft pick was terrible.
Brandon Weeden sucks. They've had Jason Campbell the second half of the year. He's, as a Redskins fan, I can testify he's eh. If the rest of your team's amazing, I guess he's not horrible. It's like if you had Jason Campbell in place instead of Rex Grossman in that Super Bowl, you might have had a shot. That's about it. Just because right. Jason Campbell fumble four snaps or whatever.
Right.
I'll give you that much. Who was the kid they had in for like 3 weeks? The mobile white guy who then like tore his ACL.
He was great. Yeah.
That guy was awesome.
Yeah.
I don't even remember who the fuck that dude was. I love that kid. He won like his first three starts, or
I think it's Brian Hoyer or something like
Hoyer,
that.
Hoyer, yeah. And then his third start. I want to say he had two in a row and then his third start. I literally, Browns fans, if you want to talk about jinxing and evil powers, I flipped to CBS. I'm like, I got to check this kid out. I like the Browns. That play, he rips his ACL. I'm like, okay then.
Yeah, no, I mean, hopefully he does have a chance to come back 100% and with the ability to play for his hometown.
Yeah,
I think
hopefully
that's a great
he doesn't
story.
Pull like, fucking all in week one bullshit.
So we'll see what happens with them next season, if they're going to be able to figure out the quarterback situation.
I'm sure he'll get lost in the mix. I'm 100% they'll piss away a first rounder.
I just hope that Chudzinski gets a job elsewhere. I think he proved himself to be a decent head coach this year.
What do you want out of the guy when he's got that as his quarterback situation?
Yeah. And he did very well, I think, reacting to losing his starting running back.
Yeah.
I mean, Trent Richardson wasn't playing great, obviously. It probably wasn't the best use of the number three pick. Even if Richardson was the third best player in that draft, I think you needed to trade it. Like, you could have done better on the free agent market, which is what the GM was communicating when he traded.
Well, they were desperate then. It was almost like a baby version of what the Skins did. Like, they were desperate to be like, oh, we weren't beat to the punch this year. With all these picks, we weren't beat to some sort of offensive weapon punch. So we're trading up to get Richardson. So it looks like we did something.
Yeah.
Because I know everyone's jacking their dicks like he was the second coming of AP. In the draft.
No, I know, like, he was just the third best player in the draft. It wasn't a... I mean, there are other players, obviously, in that draft who turned out better, but, you know, he was the highest rated running back. That's all I could say about him at that time.
Yeah.
I watched him in college. He had no breakaway speed. He had amazing arm strength. So, to me, it's just... He is what he is for Indianapolis right now. I think he'll be a difference in the playoffs. I think it was a good trade for Indy because they now have a goal line running threat. They have a short yardage back. That's not a bad thing to have. It just sucks for the Browns that they traded up to get the number three overall to draft.
Well, they were, the fifth, I think, or the fourth? They literally gave away, a fifth pick or something, a fifth-round pick.
Just to move
up a spot,
yeah.
Just to, go up a spot. Because, I guess they were afraid that Minnesota wasn't going to take him but would entertain offers for the third pick.
Right, yeah. So they had to ensure that they weren't going to trade it away.
Yeah. Speaking of coaches fucked by mediocre quarterback situations, Leslie Frazier bids adieu to Minnesota after having at the helm, I believe, Ponder, Castle, Freeman briefly.
Is this the
Freeman
idiot
for a game?
Was he fired by the GM, the same GM who was dumb enough to draft Ponder number 12 overall?
I believe. I don't think the GM
it's
situation
disgusting.
Has changed.
Fuck that city then. AP should go somewhere where he's appreciated.
I feel horrible for AP. Yeah. Are you kidding me? The guy's given bits of what's Nick Nolte's speech from North Dallas 40 where he's like, there's bits of me on every field in this league. That's AP.
Yeah.
There's bits of his flesh and blood on every field in this fucking league.
I'll say this, man. I think Leslie Frazier is a good head coach too. I think he should get another head coaching job too. So him and Chudzinski,
I don't know
I
enough about the dude.
It.
I personally, I don't, I'm results oriented, especially when I don't know the ins and outs. Again, of Frazier's tenure, of Chudzinski's tenure, I wouldn't want him in D.C. as a Skins fan. I'll say that much.
I mean, what is Skins going to do, man?
They're trying to woo the offensive coordinator of the Seahawks away. Like, that is the early report. The Vikings and the Skins are kind of sucking that guy's balls.
I mean, is that the same Seattle offense that got held to under 200 yards?
Shit. The last, like, 4 weeks, yeah. 5 weeks.
So, like, why are you excited about the possibility of Shanahan getting followed by somebody who's...
I'm not. I'm so hopeless, whatever. Wait, you know how I feel about the Skins? Wake me when they're hosting Lombardi. Just wake me when that happens. Until then, meh. Don't care. Just a nexus of dysfunction. Fucking Dan Snyder. It's just Dan Snyder. Look at the constant. That's it. Look at the one constant. Dan Snyder. Do you know what the Washington Post tried to put out there? What blew my mind?
Please tell me what stupidity this, like, once great paper now espouses.
They wanted to put out there that Snyder did a fine job this time, or at least was completely unable to, was completely able to hand over the reins to Shanahan, except for the Griffin choice. Snyder stepped in and said, we're getting Griffin at the cost of a first round, and a second round. Do you know what that is? That's like saying, I don't really impose upon my friend, except for the one time I demanded I got to fuck his of-age daughter and wife and then borrow his car and crash it into the tree while I ran over his dog. Like, how the fuck do you say he was hands-off until he forfeited the top pick in several drafts?
It's always going to be that way, though, with Dan Snyder. Like, he gets what he wants. Like, this is just a toy for him. It's always been that way. And so anybody going in that situation knows that they're second fiddle to this man's whims.
It's fucking marketing. He just stepped in. He's like, DC has a lot of black folk in it. RG3 is charismatic and black, and he'll sell really well. I want that. They're the team that openly brags about, we sold our season tickets. They, through the concourse, will blast messages about how well they sold this and that.
That stadium's horrible, man.
It's a shithole.
Yeah.
I fucking don't even like using their toilets. So I can buy, what, $11 chicken strips with french fries?
I mean, that's everywhere, but...
Yeah.
It's just the whole experience getting to the stadium to watch a shitty team play
from
a bad seat.
It's the depression they're fried in that's different.
The seat, like, yeah, it's just, it's not an intimate setting whatsoever for a football game. I mean, there's just no enjoyment compared to, like, walking out of Baltimore Stadium into the Inner Harbor. It's night and day. This is why I root for the Ravens. I don't even, like, pretend that I understand people like you who still follow the Skins.
I grew up on it. There's no logical... Yeah. You don't have to be logical about teams. It's like, why was your first pet the best pet on earth? Because it's my first fucking pet, you dumb shit.
See, like, I'm different than you, because for me, I...
You're like, fuck my dog.
No, but I'm saying... My first team was the 49ers. Like, they were good when I was a little kid, and I just got to enjoy watching Joe Montana at the height of being able to pass to Jerry Rice, hand the ball to Roger Craig, Tom Rathman, Brent Jones. I mean, you had John Taylor on the other side. It was cool to watch this. That was great. And as that team disintegrated, then you saw Montana have no loyalty from the franchise when Young came in. I realized, like, you know, for me, it was about the players. It wasn't the team. So basically, anywhere Montana goes, I'm going to root for that team. Anywhere Jerry Rice goes, I'm going to root for that team.
Well, I think you have to understand what being a Skins fan is to me. Like, when they showed that they went belly up, I barely watched the games this season. I watched just the entertaining games every time slot. But if you're like, who's your team? The Redskins. To me, being a Redskins fan is nothing more than, hey, in an abstract, who do you want to win the Super Bowl this year and every year? The Redskins. Yeah, ever want that to not happen? Nope. More Lombardis for the Redskins.
That makes you a more traditional fan than I, though, because I am perhaps what people are most afraid of, where I literally just attach myself to play. And this is more a reflection of me being a college fan, because, you know, I'm a Texas fan. Like, that's my school. And so, like, I look to that school for, like, who are some of the guys I want to follow in the NFL? And so, for me, like, I have conditional love for teams that have the guys that have my players. So, like, when Jamal Charles is doing well in KC, I'm like, that's awesome, man. Give him 5 touchdowns every week.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, there are other guys where I just like their attitude. Like, everybody, like, take it for what it is. Randy Moss is my dude. That guy inspires me. You heard that right. Randy Moss has always been an inspiration to me because he was coming out into the NFL draft right around the time that I was a senior in high school. So his bad attitude was perfect for the way I felt when I was a 17-year-old kid. And that's why, like, everywhere he went, I'm like,
he managed
damn
to
right.
let loose with some craziness a couple days ago. Did you hear that? He was no. like, if I was in the league, I'd get about 15, 16 touchdowns.
Oh, right now?
Yeah.
Well,
right now.
Defensive backs can't touch anybody.
He's old. He don't have his speed.
He's got some speed. He looked okay last year.
He can outrun me. I'll give him that.
He can still jump up and get over some defensive backs.
I don't know. I think the league and time have proven he's not fit for competition anymore.
He did okay last year. He wasn't great. He wasn't like old Randy, but...
That's what I'm saying. I don't even think anyone got 16 touchdowns in the league this year, and he's claiming he could do it.
Well, obviously, he'd have to be on a team that made him the primary target in the end zone.
I guess. I don't have anything to say to it. I feel weird you're entertaining it.
Dude, step off my boy.
It's like fucking Jim Brown puts down his cane and he's like, I could still rush for 20 of them.
You know, he did that when he was 47. He was like, I'm better than Franco Harris. He came out like in the 70s and was like, I'm better than Franco Harris. That fool runs out of bounds like a pussy.
Yeah, but it's just old person senile talk.
No, they actually had like a competition. They
it's
did like
Uncle Rico saying he can throw the ball over the mountain.
They did this like modified triathlon.
Yeah.
And he actually won one of the events.
One of.
I think, but he might have beaten Franco on an actual like 100-meter dash.
I mean, these are.
He's a 47-year-old man.
Then Al Davis will come back from the dead and draft him. They are abstracts. They don't exactly matter in the field of combat.
Speaking of abstracts, wildcard weekend.
Well,
I think
wrap up the last two firings right. real fast. Greg Schiano. Again, another victim of a shit quarterback situation with Freeman at the helm.
Story is he's probably going to Penn State, so they're going to get a pretty good college coach who is from New Jersey. He did coach Rutgers because he's an alum of Rutgers, but now he gets to go to the school from that region that really has more of a football tradition. So I think it probably worked out in the end for Schiano to leave Rutgers and have a chance at that job.
Yeah, college gigs are sweet if you get the ball rolling, dude.
Yeah, especially if you go to a place that really has your back. Yeah.
Yeah, unlike Texas.
Come on, man. I'll say this. Like, I don't like the way Mac Brown was treated, so I'm going to have a hard time accepting whoever. I really don't like Jimbo Fisher at Florida State. I hope that he just takes that five-year contract he signed and sticks with that program because I'm not a fan of Florida State. I think he's a good fit because he is way too overconfident in the offense he calls. I'm rooting for Auburn in that game, I got to be honest. I'm not going to hate on the SEC for hating on the SEC's sake. I actually have a cousin who played at Ole Miss, so that's my SEC team. But I'm not a pro SEC guy since I went to Texas. I'll just say, not a Florida State fan. Would love to see them lose and would love to see Jimbo Fisher not coach at Texas. I think the way that he calls offense is way too predictable. So he's got great players, but let's see what he does against a team that can match his athletic ability. Anyway, Mac Brown is like one of the best coaches if you look in terms of overall wins per season. Mm-hmm. Overall career wins. How does he get fired? Guys like that are supposed to go out on their own terms. And they didn't let
him. Not anymore.
No. That's not true. Only at Texas, where like people
Well, isn't
are...
that considered the crown jewel?
No, that's what ESPN tells people because they have the Longhorn Network now.
That's true. Dude, it's Texas. And I've seen Friday Night Lights.
In defense of Jimbo Fisher, I'll be honest, I think Florida high school football is as good, if not better, than Texas. So, like, you're going to get a lot of guys coming out of Texas high schools now that are going to be NFL ready. I saw this piece on ESPN talking about Texas high schools were the first place that went to this, like, heavy, like, crazy passing offense system mm-hmm. that is now being seen more in the NFL. So, you're probably going to have a lot of players coming out of Texas high schools make it to the NFL. But as far as at the college level, Florida players are really good, man. So, I wouldn't leave a Florida school for a Texas school at this point.
Well... All I can say is I know nothing about college, and the final firing was Shanahan, along with, I believe, actually only his kid and the special teams coach. Hazlitt, I think, remains currently.
All right.
Contrary to previous reports, he remains as the defensive coordinator. As a Skins fan, I have no insight here. It's going to be more of the same bullshit. Bruce Allen was given back the power that was given to Shanahan that a GM traditionally has.
Good.
To have final say over the roster and all that stuff. But Bruce Allen, not a roster guy. He's kind of like a salary cap dude. So I don't know if that really matters.
He'll probably still continue to collaborate whoever with whomever is the next coach. But I think part of the hiring process will be, what do you think of the current guys? Because this is what you got. So if you can't work with these guys, can't work with you. So as an outsider who doesn't really follow your team all that much, but looks at it with delight and glee whenever I can laugh at their misfortune, I'll say that the problem for me with Snyder and the way he handled this, contrary to what the Washington Post said, is like, you can't let a guy come in with his son as offensive coordinator, period. I keep saying this on the show, but you just can't do it. Anybody who does that, that's a red flag. Don't hire that person. So from the get-go, they shouldn't have let Shanahan come in if that's how he's going to
run. It's toxic, man. Yeah. It's simply toxic.
So that was a mistake.
Like, would you have let him bring in his wife to do shit? You think he's going to side against her?
If it's, I can't say that, can I?
Say it. I don't give a shit.
No, if it's like to set up the buffet before games, like,
exactly.
That'd be fine.
Yeah. If she wants to pick the doilies. I know you want to jump to the playoff stuff real fast. Looking at the list, I'm trying to, like, Texans, I don't even know if that's that cushy a spot. I think the Lions, in terms of personnel, are the strongest. Vikings may be the weakest, honestly.
I think as long as that GM's there, I wouldn't want to be there.
Pretty much any place that doesn't have its quarterback in place, you've got to worry. So that's where the Skins aren't horrible in this, other than the fact you're working for Dan Snyder, and he's ruined everyone who has come through these doors. Fucking Mike Shanahan toxic now. No one's touching his ass after this. Are you kidding me? He's done in this league. God, the Redskins remain undefeated in one department. That's killing careers.
Yeah, I mean, I think Shanahan's still going to insist on, like, coaching with Kyle possibly in the future. If he does that, then, like, nobody should touch him.
Let's get to the playoffs finally. Again, one of the two happiest weeks of the year. Wild card week, wild card weekend. We start with the Chiefs at the Colts, 4:30. Your call, Howard? What's
it? I don't care. I mean, honestly, man, like, I think neither of those teams is going to be able to win at New England or at Denver. I just don't think all those teams matter. I'm not even going to watch that game.
I'm going to watch it. I'm watching all these games. Like, I don't miss a fucking minute from this point onward up until the conclusion of the Super Bowl. I tap out for the halftime show. That's about it.
But I'm going to take Jamal Charles over Indianapolis. Jamal Charles beats Andrew Luck.
I'm rooting for the Chiefs just because Luck was an organic first pick above RG3. I hate that people didn't have to give up picks for quarterbacks. This is the extent of my hatred. Probably why I'm not a big Kaepernick fan either. Second round pick. That's pretty much what RG3 does. I like the Chiefs, man. I like the Walrus. I like Andy Reid. He's always been like the fat chick I fucked on the side. Didn't own up to. I like Andy. I hope they win. I don't have a lot of love for the Colts, honestly. I don't dislike them, but Ursay, just fuck him. Fuck Ursay.
They look bad there for a few weeks after Reggie Wayne went down, but they are starting to look like
they right in the ship? Yeah.
Yeah, so
once
I mean,
he left, they were what, like 0-4 or something horrific?
I mean, I'm not going to say they couldn't beat New England or Denver. I just have a problem with them trying to do it on the road. So, like, they're looking better. I think they are a team that could compete if they could actually, like...
Well, how fucking nuts would it be? Do we know, by the way, who comes out of this? Like, coming out of the Chiefs-Colts game, do we know if it's locked that they will get Denver or they will get New England, or it depends who wins based on seeding?
It depends on seeding, okay. Yeah.
So we got that. Then 8 p.m., Saints at Eagles. I think conventional wisdom is Saints are a shit road team and Eagles are doing pretty well. Do you have anything to add to that?
My problem with Philly is it's the first time that this offense is going into the postseason. So I do feel like the Saints could surprise them. I wouldn't pick the Saints, though, right now. I just have a hard time believing they can win on the road in the cold. So
they've looked uneven. As brilliant and on fire they were, especially the beginning of the season, because this was like Sean Payton coming back, right?
They're amazing in a dome.
Yeah, it's just Payton, and it was Breeze doing their thing, just looking killer. And I don't know, the magic seems to have worn off.
Problem with Philly is they can't hold a lead in the fourth quarter. So if
that's
there's
true.
A team
their time of possession sucks shit.
If there's a team that's built to score two quick touchdowns in the fourth quarter, it's New Orleans.
Yeah, to punish your inability to control the clock. I'll give you that. All right, Sunday 1 p.m., Chargers at Bengals. fuck Andy Dalton hard. I really do enjoy the Bengals. Andy Dalton stinks on fucking ice. Like, lost in the mix of that victory over the Ravens, I believe another three picks out of him, correct?
Yeah, it was ugly. They were trying, in a way, to be aggressive with him, because I think they were trying to
get him in the... He doesn't have the skills for it.
But they're trying to get him into the mentality of, like, making a Super Bowl run, because, I mean, they need him to play better. And they're trying to see if making him into an aggressive passer downfield is a possibility for the playoffs against decent defense.
As opposed to some little dink and dunk fucker who will just take them somewhere in the postseason and exit early.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to try to be kind of aggressive downfield against the San Diego team. Only concern is San Diego's offense can really control the ball. So I think this might be an upset.
I wouldn't be shocked, man. I'm trying to remember, I'm brain farting on the dude's name. I love that new coach they have in San Diego. Yep. That guy's not fuck around.
Wisenhunt's the offense coordinator, right?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry. Like, I was...
I know Wisenhunt ain't coaching this year. Like, he became kind of a hot commodity.
Yeah.
That people are looking at in light of what he's done over there.
He might end up as a Redskins coach. I would hire him first. To be honest, I think he's the best choice for the Skins.
I mean, it's weird. The dude did great when he had old Greylocks, old arena football bag boy.
Yeah.
But, you know, once Warner left, he was, I guess, perpetually searching for a replacement. They went through Christ knows how many. What, Skelton, Cobb? You remember Kevin Cobb?
Yeah. No, like they...
Jesus Christ.
He's a guy who needs a good quarterback. So yeah. That's the only type of job he should accept at this point.
And then last, but obviously the best game, just the most stocked game. This could be an NFC championship matchup and you wouldn't bat a fucking eye. San Fran at Green Bay.
Yeah, San Fran just got, I shouldn't say penalized, but, you know, they suffered from the fact they're in the same division as Seattle. And then Green Bay, like, was without their top player for 5-6 weeks. So you have to look at one of these two teams as being very capable of upsetting, especially Carolina, but even Seattle. So that, to me, is the most exciting game of the weekend. I really don't see any of these other games producing a team that can beat a team with a bye this week. So...
I'm looking. Fuck. Saints at Eagles. The Eagles, to me, are a bit of a wild card, man.
Yeah, and to be fair, I'm trying to think. Could the Eagles actually... Yeah, the Eagles really... I think if the Eagles win, they would play Carolina.
I think the Saints are the only team where I'm like, they ain't going to win this fucking thing out of the really? NFC. Yeah.
See, I don't like the way that Chip Kelly manages the clock in the fourth quarter.
Me neither, and I'm sure it'll show, but they're just... Yeah, fucking LeSean is doing killer right now, man.
Yeah, he's great. So, I mean, we'll see if...
I know Bengals ain't doing shit, I'm sorry, with Andy Dalton. I can tell you that much.
Look, I think Rex Ryan's porn star brother might pull something out of the bag in order to stop McCoy this week. That would be cool. I'm not going to write the Saints off.
I mean, I'm just pumped to watch it all. I am so grateful for this shit, especially that they're shoving... The Saturday action 4 and 8. I love that because you fit in your girl Friday night. She's gone by like 2 p.m. the next day. And then you just got the weekend. That's how I'm planning my shit. I don't know about you, man. That is definitively, babe, come over Friday. Oh, let's go. Bye.
Hey, man. I mean, good for you. I can't get behind this wildcard weekend. I was thinking earlier today about San Fran having that crazy game against Green Bay a couple years ago, wildcard weekend.
Yeah,
game-winning touchdown to Terrell Owens, Steve Young to Terrell Owens in the it's an amazing game.
Oh, we're going that deep. Okay.
No, this is the 98 season, and everybody like still talks about that game. And I'm just like, that's fucking stupid to me because they went ahead and then they lost to the Falcons the next week. And like, frankly, that was the year that the Vikings were 15-1. It was Randy Moss's rookie year, and it's like they couldn't beat that team either. I know the Falcons ended up going to the Super Bowl that year, but I'm like, who gives a shit who won fucking San Fran versus Green Bay in a wild card game?
There are dudes that remember that.
Well, fuck them. I'm just like, I'm not going to waste my time on that. The wild card games I care about are when your wild card team actually gets to the Super Bowl. Like, call me then. At least have the decency
you're
to
not
get
a fan
to the
of
NFC
like
Championship
a solid,
game.
A game that in a vacuum was amazing, but like it really had no impact.
It can be, but just like... Don't get a full heart on for that. That's a little half-chub thing that you mentioned.
Get an HC.
Because no, like, it's funny. Like, my girl's from Miami. I was actually in Fort Lauderdale when that game happened in 98.
And I still remember where I was because I was sitting in a car driving around Fort Lauderdale when Terrell Owens caught that pass. It's a great moment in football history, but I'm not going to go crazy about like the year that they lost in the divisional round. Come on.
Well, not a bad way to wrap things up. I like you taking us down that trip.
I love NFL history. It's good stuff, man.
I just like that you weren't in either San Fran or Green Bay for that story. You're like, yeah, I was in Miami.
It's funny when you can remember these moments that were just like so epic in sports.
Yeah.
And like you can see yourself in that moment when
that's
it happened.
True. That's true. I don't have anything that wild. I remember when I was in my friend Rich's basement during the blackout from the Super Bowl last year. That's my version thereof. I'm John Papagiorgio. That's Howard Flood. We are Papa's Football Podcast. Again, it's hosted at pfpod.com. Find us on iTunes. Subscribe to us. Rate us very, very well. 5 stars is the max. Please, 5, maybe 4. If you've got a critique to lay on us, we'll understand before. We can live with that. Look up Papa's Football Podcast on iTunes. And last but not least, we live tweet games under Papa Football Pod at Papa Football Pod on Twitter. Also check out inpapasbasement.com, Papa's Basement on iTunes. That is my main show. And last but not least, thespookiescomic.com. I write that along with my buddy Ho Ho. Yes, I have to use that fake name.
Ho Ho Ho. Happy New Year.